Well, that's all about a life. We may have been told the devil's going to get you. I remember Phil talking about, I believe it was her sisters that told her, she was a lot younger than her other siblings, and her sisters were going to keep her away from a certain part of the farm there, and they'd say, if you go down there, the soap salad would get you and make soap out of you. So, keep her away from where she's wanting to go. The devil will get you. You know, when we're going from Auburn to Birmingham, we go through Montgomery, usually up I-65, from wherever we go I-85 to Montgomery, then I-65 to Birmingham. And beside I-65, up there about, I don't know how far, but right beside the road is a big sign. Well-made sign. Not just one of these homemade deals, you know. Well-made sign, and it says on the sign, go to church or the devil will get you. Well, how does the devil get us? How does the devil get into our lives? You ever wonder about that? You ever seen people that you just really felt like the devil just lived in their life? Just kind of ruled everything about them. The way they talk, the way they act, the way they live, just their whole life is ruled by Satan. Well, how did they get that way? Did he just come into them some mystical way and just take over their life and they have nothing to do with that? Well, he gets into our life the same way Jesus Christ gets into our life. We let him in. I remember the home saying, talking about it, said he gets his foot in the door. And pretty soon he's in the house stomping all around, or worse, kind of worse about a fact, something like that. But he gets his foot in the door. But how did he come to us? You know what? Sin never seems like sin in the beginning, does it? It seems alluring. It seems pleasurable. It seems cozy. And you know what you think? I can quit any time. Now why is that? No matter what it is, no matter what's overtaken someone else, but if it comes to us, we say, well, you know it's nothing to this. I'm quitting time I want to. Sin never seems like sin at first. I've written on the board tonight, I hope you can read this. But the devil is always out to see who he can ruin. You see? Has he ever wrecked your life? Have you ever looked back at some mistakes in life and you think, oh, what I was thinking about? You ever read about the story of Jacob and Esau in Genesis 25? And Esau was in the field working and came to the house and Jacob was cooking. And he said, feed me. So that thing of red pot is probably that you got. Jacob said a strange thing because Esau was the firstborn. They were twins. And Esau was the firstborn. And so Esau had the birthright. And what was the birthright? The birthright was, it was really important. Because you was heir, the first male born was heir to be the head of the family. And also you got a double portion of the inheritance. And so it was very important to get the birthright. So Esau had the birthright being the firstborn male. So he tells his brother Jacob, he says, feed me. And Jacob says to him, sell me your birthright. Or give me your birthright. And you know what Esau said? The Bible says that. Esau thought, he said, I'm at the point to die. So what profit is my birthright? You think he's about to die? I don't think so. He's just been working in the field. Coming in the house. Have you ever been hungry? Have you ever done something on the spur of the moment? You know what Hebrews 12 says about Esau? He calls him a profane person. You know what a profane person is? A worthy person. Who it says for one morsel of meat sold his birthright and he could find a place for the temple, so he thought it carefully with tears. You know what that means? There was no place to change his mind. Let me tell you something in this life, and please remember this.
There's some things in life that you can do, or some things in life you can do, and you can get out of it. You can go down here to the bank and borrow some money, and you may not pay the bill, but you can work something out using where you can pay the bill later, maybe. And it works it out okay, and your credit won't be ruined. But there's some things in life, like what Esau did, that are all your life. Now, like I said, it may not be soon. It may be like the marriage day. It may be like when you said, I do, until death do us part. And you have then committed yourself to that person till death do you part. You have made a vow before God and before man. So there are certain things in life that you make commitments on that you say you will do, but there's no backing out, okay? There's no change of your mind. And that's exactly what Esau did. He made a commitment here to sell his birthright for a morsel of meat. And he was called, Hebrews 12, a profane or worldly person. He goes, straighten this out some way, all the time, to luring people. But he's like anybody. He's like anybody. He retreats when he is resisted in the strength of the Lord. James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he will walk away from you. Is that what it says? What does it say? You ever thought about what the word he uses there? He says he will flee from you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. But then comes that scene. It's what I say. It's pleasurable, it's cozy, it's alluring, it's fascinating. Doesn't it? The devil comes to us with a handshake, a smile, a pat on the back. He doesn't say, hello, I'm the devil, and I'm here to destroy you. See, your daddy, when you go out with your friends on Friday night or Saturday night, they say, well, are you with us or not? You know? And then the beer is passed around. Oh, man! You mean you? They'll laugh at you. And you get in the car at night with some of them. And they get a little faster. And you look at that speedometer. You know that road is curvy. You know what can happen. And you say, slow down. They say, what are you, chicken? What are you, chicken? Some of your friends say that to you. Now you are in a situation you don't want to be in. A smile, a friend, a handshake. And at first it didn't seem like sinning, did it? It didn't seem so bad, but it don't tell you about the man later on in life. It's drink and drink. He's lost his wife. He's lost his family. Friends, I know of a medical doctor that told a lady one time, he said, I can't even call my own children. He was in a place where a rehabilitation. He said, they would not even accept a collect call from me. My own kids won't. And he said, I'm a medical doctor. He said, I've lost my license. I've lost my family. All because of alcohol. The devil's going to get you. Well, what does he want with me? What does he want with you? You ever think about that? Why does he want to ruin my life? You know, I don't need him in my life. You don't need him in your life. Why does he want to get in my life? Why is it so alluring? Why is it so fascinating? Why is it so charming? What is it about this thing called sin? This thing called the devil? Well, you know what the first thing he wants? He wants to keep you out of heaven. That's right. You know, man is the very crown of God's work. We are the crowning achievement of God's work because we were made in God's own image. That's right. You and I are made in God's own image, my friends. And so we're the crowning achievement of what God's work is. And Satan wants to keep you out of heaven. He don't want you to go there. He don't want you to live someday in heaven. His influence is so great in the life of people of this world that He's called in the Bible? John 12:31, the prince of this world. He's also called in 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this world. And let me tell you what, friends, about He's got the world by the throat. If you don't believe, if you read your newspapers, and you watch your television, you listen to your radio, and you get on the internet, that's right. He's got the world by the throat. And in fact, John says in 1 John 5:19, listen to this, the whole world lieth in wickedness. You know, in the days of Noah, and God looked down and saw that the thought, that every thought and imagination of man's heart was on the evil continually? Did you know the Bible says that? You know, you say, preacher, you know, I have some bad thoughts sometimes, but it's not all the time. But back in the days of Noah, says it. Every thought and imagination of man's heart was on the evil continually. All the time, just evil thoughts. What did John say? The whole world lies in wickedness. The whole world. Satan is working in our lives today. He will work in your life if you'll let Him. He wants to keep us out of heaven. Back in Isaiah 59, Isaiah the prophet says, behold, Jehovah's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. Neither is there heaven that it cannot hear. But your iniquities, your sins, are separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, so He will not hear. That's what comes between us and God. Our sins. You know what He went one-on-one with Jesus? You think He won't go one-on-one with you? He did. Oh, yes, He did. He went one-on-one with our Lord. He tempted Him. He was hungry. 40 days without food. Commanding salt to be made bread. What's wrong with that? You know, if He told me that, I thought, well, boy, I'm hungry. I could eat some bread. And I'd probably be thinking, you know, why can't I do this? Well, it's in the book that says I can't make these stones to bread. But Jesus wasn't going to do anything He said. Did you notice that? No, He wasn't going to follow anything Satan said to Him. Because, do you see what Satan does? See, what I tell you a while ago, sin does not seem like sin in the beginning. And sometimes it's not sin in the beginning. It just leads on to sin, step by step. You think about David, what David did. You know when he saw Bathsheba? What? Taking a bath. What did he do next? Who is she? Oh. What did he do next? He called for. What did he do next? He committed adultery with her. So what happened next? He says, I'm going to have a child. Where's your husband? He's in a war. Well, get him home. But he wouldn't go to his wife. He wouldn't go home to his wife. Then he got him drunk. Still wouldn't go home. Sent a mess of meat to his house. He still wouldn't go home. So he put a note in his hand. Take it with you. What does the note say? Put him in the forefront of battle. And then draw from there. He might be smitten and die. Why has he got to die? Because of David's sin. David had him killed. Remember the story? See, sin takes step by step. And see, when he was watching her take a bath, it didn't seem like sin then, did it? No. Now, one thing, when you just happen to glance and see her. But now, when you've got to stand there and stare and get the binoculars out, now it's getting to be sin, isn't it? It's going to lead to more sin. That's what it's going to do. It's a worry. It's charming. It's fascinating. And so if Satan can get you to do that, he's going to keep you out of heaven. He can get us to sin. It separates us from God. It's from His fellowship. And that sin will ultimately separate us to eternal damnation. We'll be lost forever. In 1 Peter 5:8, Peter says these words, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Be sober and be watchful. You know, he said, now, preacher, what you think ought to be paranoid? No, I don't think you ought to be paranoid. But I think, and I know, we best be careful. Best be careful. You be sober. Be sober-minded. You be watchful. You be attentive. In Philippians, I'm going to read you something here. See if I can put my finger on it right here. In Philippians, the first chapter, verses 9 and 10. Listen to this. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Okay? And Paul is saying, I want your love to grow in what you know about God's will, and in your judgments. See, basically in life, we're faced with judgments. We're faced with decisions. Every day of our life, we have decisions. Like I said, Paul says, I want your love to grow in your knowledge and in your decision making. And he goes on to say in the next verse, that you may approve things that are excellent. Okay? So in this life we see what? We see things that are what? Not excellent, not good, and things that are excellent. But what do we want to do? To resist the devil, we want to approve things that are excellent, or things that are right. Okay? So when we make decisions in life, when we resist the devil, we are approving things that are excellent, so we will what? Go to heaven. For Satan want with you to keep you from salvation. As we noted, sin comes between us and God. And the only cure for sin is what? Is what? Is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's right. The only cure for sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing else, my friend, can cure sin. The blood of Jesus Christ cures sin. In Hebrews 9 and 22, the writer there talks about this very thing. Hebrews 9 and 22, without shedding of blood is no remission. There's no remission of sin. Then go on to 10:4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. And what he's talking about there is the old law. And when they would offer up sacrifices, the blood of bulls and goats, the sin would be rolled forward for you, and then they would be remembered again. And so the writer of Hebrews says it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats can take away sin. So the only cure for sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. The only cure. Now when you come in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ, through baptism, through the watery grave of baptism, Jesus Christ shed His blood for us all that we might be born again and might be forgiven of sin. Peter says in 1 Peter 1, 1 Peter, the first chapter, in verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but will the precious blood of Christ. And things in life, the things to us are very precious. It might be an old trunk you inherited. You know, it might be something else that you had in your family for many years that you wouldn't sell. You wouldn't take, I don't know what amount of money, but you wouldn't sell it because it's very precious to you. There are people in your life that are very precious to you. You know, I was talking last night about sacrifice and told you about the man that gave this man a kidney. But you know, I didn't think of this story last night, but I also heard about during the Holocaust, where so many Jews were killed and put in prison and starved to death. But this girl writes about her and her mother being taken prisoners together. And every day, they each received a bowl, and I think it was soup. I'm not sure of that, but it's just a bowl of food. It's all they got for each day. And this girl was writing about this, and she said, and every day, the bowl that mother got was always waiting for me when I finished mine. And she, I think, was about 4 or 5 years old. And so in some way, I believe that mother didn't want her, just being a child as she was. And you talk about a sacrifice. But he talks here about Jesus Christ's blood, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice for all men, that he gave his life for me and you. But friends, what does it mean to you? I mean, you know, when you talk about sacrifice, I was thinking about this so much today. If you look back over your life, how many times in your life can you think, and you don't have to start thinking of it now, but think about this tomorrow. Lord willing, you see tomorrow. How many times in your life can you truly say that you have truly given a sacrifice? Truly given a sacrifice. You really gave something that you wanted, that you needed. And that woman truly gave a sacrifice, didn't she? You know, I think Brother Dwight mentioned that in his prayer, Brother Hans and Brother Danny over there. They're sacrificing. I fully believe they are. I feel like they are. And other brethren that go out like that, foreign countries, sometimes their life is in danger. But Jesus Christ, they're the ultimate sacrifice. And Satan wants to keep us from salvation, because through his blood we can be saved. You should know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, John 8:32 says. If Satan can keep us in ignorance, then he can control us. If he can keep us from knowing God's word, then he will control you, because you'll never live above you know. You'll never live better than you know. And if you don't know it, you're not going to live it. Friends, today, I don't know how many excuses that we hear of why people don't go to church. I remember hearing one when I was up in Tennessee. You know why this man don't go to church? Because he was made to go to church as a child. And I thought about this. I made this story up when I heard that. But what about this one? Say one day that you're that man, and you feel that way. You don't go to church because you were made to go as a child. And you meet a guy on the street, says, well, one day, it's freezing cold, raining, misty rain, real cold. Just a raw day, and he ain't got on a jacket. And you see him. You say, hey, friend, said, aren't you cold? He says, oh, I'm freezing. And you say, well, hey, I got a jacket, I'll let you have it. He said, oh, no, I don't wear a jacket. You don't wear a jacket, aren't you cold? Yes, I said, I'm freezing. What if you wear a jacket? Says, Mom and Daddy made me wear one when I was little. And I always said when I got grown, I never wear a jacket. You think. And then he turns to you and said, hey, says, we're in revival over there. Why don't you go with me? And you turn here and says, no, I don't go. I don't go to church anymore. He says, why don't you go to church? And you say, well, Mom and Daddy always made me go when I was a kid. And I said, when I got grown, I'd never go. Isn't that sad? Mom and Dad, why did they make you wear a jacket? Why did they make you go to church? Because they loved you. You always remember that. They loved you. They wanted you to be saved. They didn't do it to hurt you. They didn't do it to do something against you. But Satan wants to keep you from salvation. He wants you to make excuses why you don't go to church. He wants to keep you out of the church. The blood of Christ is in his church. Acts 2:47, the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. He added to the church daily. The church of the Lord, which you purchased with your own blood, Acts 20 and 28. The devil knows that the blood of Jesus Christ washes away sins. He knows if anyone is saved, he is saved by the blood of Christ. He knows he can keep you from that blood of Jesus Christ. He can keep you from being saved. He knows that. But he can just keep you away. And you know what else? He keeps you away. He's probably going to keep your kids away. You know that? And he may keep your grandkids away. And he may keep your wife away. And he may keep somebody else away that you might have influence over. See, my friends, there's one thing you say about Satan. He's a worker. That's right. And we get these excuses in our minds. We work them all up of why we don't go to church, of why we don't do things that we should do with our lives. And we can name them all. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Go on and on of what we don't do. And Satan wants it. And he loves it. He wants to keep you out of the church. Satan wants to keep you from obeying God. He doesn't want you to obey God. He doesn't want you to follow God. Satan knows that's obedience that we're reconciled to God. Obedience to His Word. Seeing you have purified your souls and your obedience to the truth, 1 Peter 1 and 22. Well, he also knows that Jesus Christ has offered eternal salvation to all those, to everybody who's offered eternal salvation. Faith through works will save you. Over and over in the Bible, it is pointed out that faith must have works in order to save anyone. In fact, it is clearly stated in the Bible that faith alone will not save you, but my friends, you hear it time and time and time again today that people will tell you. Just believe in the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. But do you happen to remember what James says about this? Remember what it says? Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devil also believe and tremble. The devil, he said, he believe and tremble. He says, faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Now I know, you probably heard it too, some people say that James is not even a part of the Bible. You've heard that? Oh, I heard it just last year. James is not even part of the Bible, Brother Bass. Excuse me? Who's preaching that? Satan is. Sure he is. And you know why he's preaching that? Because he doesn't want you to believe what James says about faith and about works. See, things he tries to get into our head. You know, remember back in the Garden of Eden? Still that way today. There's three steps to this. Remember what he told Eve? Yeah, if God said you just not eat of the tree in the garden. He wanted to know how much truth she knew to see how far he could go with her. And she said, we can't accept the one in the midst of the garden. If we did it, we shall die. What does he do? So what's the first thing Satan does? What's number one? Denies God's word. What did he say? Thou shalt not surely die. What does he do next? He appeals to your pride. What did he say to her? He said, for God doth know that in the day you eat of, you shall be his gods. Oh, is that right? You shall be his gods, Eve. It's going to be better. It's going to be so much better. Oh, you shall be his gods. And what does he appeal to next? He appeals to your reason. Says to somebody, what do you do? She said she saw the tree was good for food, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. So the wheels start turning, don't they? He done told me, we're not going to die. So that takes care of that. He's told me if I do, we're going to be like God. So you know what? I want to be like God. And so then what do I do? Oh, he's got me on the right track, isn't he? No, he didn't, did he? He still does it today. Oh, God don't care if you do that. You know, you ain't got to be there. You don't need to go. You'll be okay. You quit any time you want to. Just try it and see. That's how it starts out, don't it? Well, that Esau, what he sold his birthright for a morsel of meat, he sold his birthright. He couldn't find no place to change it later on in life. You know what you may be thinking sometimes? You're having the most fun of your life. And you may look back later and say, well, you made the biggest mistake of your life. Oh, but you thought it was fun then. But it wasn't fun. Satan has a way to get into our head. He causes us to reason and to cause us to think, well, God's not going to condemn me for what I'm doing. I don't see how he treats such a wonderful God. I think the Bible is very plain about that. He said, your sins are coming between you and God. Satan wants you to keep you from obeying God. He'll convince you, if he can, that Jesus Christ did not really mean that both belief and baptism were essential for your salvation and all. He wants you to believe that. He wants you to believe you can just believe in God only and you're going to be saved, but that's not true. Satan will try to deny it. That's right. He will try to deny everything to keep you. He tried to deny heaven, deny the church is essential, deny baptism is essential, all these things. See things, and you hear it, and you know that man teaches that even today. How Satan has denied the Bible. And people that you respect maybe, that you love, that come to you with what? A smile, a handshake, a pat on the back. He doesn't say, I'm your deadly enemy. I'm here to destroy you. The things he will ruin you. He will destroy your life. And that's what tonight we're talking about. As Peter said, be sober. What does that mean? Not only not drinking or drunkards, but it means to be sober-minded. Look on things sensibly. Whatever it is you're doing, if you're taking a job somewhere, if you're getting married, you stop and you look and you listen. Whatever you're doing, whatever you're doing in life, things you're running with, people that you're keeping company with, places you're going, ways you're spending your money, programs you're watching on television. Whatever it is you're doing, you stop and you look and you listen and you ask yourself, where is this going? Where is this leading me? What is happening to me? Ask yourself that. That's right. He comes to you as a friend. Be sober. Be vigilant. Or be watchful. He says, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, he's walking about thinking whom he may devour, my friend, he will ruin you. That's right. He will destroy you. Oh, how sad. Oh, how sad. And yet, my friends, today we live in America, as far as we know, the greatest land that's ever been. A powerful nation. A powerful nation. And yet sin today is rampant. I read you last night's clipping of the newspaper about how the prison population had increased in the last from 1980 to 2000. What was it? 312%. The prison population in America has increased 312% in those 20 years. And we ask ourselves sometimes, where are we going from here? Sin is the cause. And one by one, Satan. He's taking people down. What is he telling you now? Well, he's telling me, you know, preacher, tonight's not the time. There's going to be a better time than tonight. I'm not going to come tonight. I'm going to say no wild oats. I got some things I got to straighten out. I got to talk to my parents. I got to talk to my wife and my husband. I'm just not going to come tonight to be bad time. Well, that's what he wants you to do, is wait. You know that? He wants you to wait. He wants you to postpone. He wants you to put it off. Oh, he tells you, you know, you're doing okay. You talk to your pastor, you talk to your wife, you talk to your husband, you talk to somebody about this, you know, talk to the preacher. But don't come up tonight. You can do it another time. There'll be a better day. Friends, there won't be a better day. The day is the day of salvation. The day is the accepted time. Come tonight to be baptized. Come tonight believing on Jesus Christ. Come tonight confessing your belief publicly by saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Repenting of your sins. And you know, that seems that can be tough. Because you know, one time that sin was just like a little bit of tree in the yard. You could have ran out with a lawnmower, but you let it grow. Let the rain come on it, and the ground was rich, and it grew, and it grew, and now it's a big, giant tree. But it's got to come down. I read this article one time. This man wrote this preacher. He said, I got a problem. He said, what is it? He said, I've got a girlfriend. I've got a wife. He said, I can't give up my girlfriend. He said, you got to give up. He said, I can't do it, preacher. He said, I've tried, and I've prayed, and I've cried, and I can't give her up. The preacher said to him, he said, you got to cut off like you cut off a limb off a tree. I thought that was pretty good. He said, you can't let it hang there. You got to cut it off. It's got to go. She's got to go. Because that's the way sin is. You got to repent. You got to turn away from it. You got to turn away from sin. And make it a complete clean cut. Don't go back to it. Don't look back. And you can be baptized tonight. If you are a member, you have not lived, you should. You can come back tonight, confess your faults, ask for forgiveness, and ask for prayer, and God will forgive you. Why not tonight? Why don't you come together? We stand and we sing.